welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope that you are all having a magnificent day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, awesome. Absolutely blessed beyond measure. I tell you what, Sharon and I just finished our prayer time a few minutes ago. We had a great time. And you know, here's what we were thinking this morning. You know, I was talking to her about our life. We've been married for 37 years. And I told her, I said, you know, when you think about all the blessings that God has bestowed on us, you know, I was on the seminar circuit for years and years and years, done thousands of interviews on radio and TV. I'm talking excluding this show. And I told her, I said, we've had a wonderful, wonderful time. And yeah, I said, now these people, these entities or whatever you want to call them that basically rule this planet through the international banking cartels, they're flexing their muscles and they're saying, look at us, look at us, look at us. But see, we don't look at them. We look at Jesus. We look at the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. Because we got to focus on what's right. In fact, Philippians 4:8, I love this. It says, starts in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So while you're in Christ Jesus, our hearts and our minds are guarded. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I thought about that verse this morning when we were praying. I thought, you know, we've got to think on the good things. We've got to have the high energy thoughts, the thoughts of like love and peace and knowing that God's in charge. Someone said to me the other day, well, you know, God's allowing these things to happen. Well, that's true. He's omnipotent. I mean, he could stop what's happening right now if he wanted to. But you know, let me ask you a question. Why would he? Why would God, the creator of the universe, when he sees what Lucifer's done down here and how bad we've allowed it to become, why would he step in? You know, he did that with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they had their golden calf episode and they're worshiping and reveling and having human sacrifice and probably drinking blood and made that golden calf and all the other crazy things they were involved in from all of the things they'd learned from the ancient Canaanite religions that had been passed through into Egypt and the ancient Egyptian mythology religions they had. You know, and God, you know, basically let them carry on, you know, with those types of things after a whole bunch of them died, you know, when they were doing it. He didn't come in and zap them all. He just kept saying they were stubborn and stiff-necked, you know. And so God gives us autonomy. He says, okay, I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling you how to live, but it's your choice. I talked about this the other day, about how Lucifer tries to force you. Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He leads you. It's like trying to push a string. You can't really push a string. It's like leading a horse. You know, this horse has to want to be led. You've got him by the bridle. You've got him, you know, pulling him by the reins. And if he doesn't want you to lead him and he's kicking against you, he's a pretty big animal. He can jump away, get away from you, and you not much you can do about it. So that's how God works with us. He gives us freedom of choice. He wants to lead us, but he wants us to be willingly led. Lucifer doesn't do that. He tries to force you. He tries to force you by drones. He tries to force you by immunizations. He tries to force you by unconstitutional government mandates. He uses the system against you. This is what's happening right now in the United States. And the problem is, the people in this country have been blinded by normalcy bias. You know, it also says in the Bible that, you know, they've been blinded by the God of this age and they cannot see or to know the truth. Now think through this with me. We had the quote, greatest generation, those people that were born like from 1900 to 1920 who fought World War I and fought World War II. We have the groups of people that have come before us who stood for the Constitution and who believed the government would do them right. And then we have these secret societies get involved with the government, and the CIA, the OSS, all of these things, bringing our government into a point where it's running drugs, slinging dope, you know, taking away people's rights. I mean, all of these things are happening very, very, very slowly. And what they've done is they've learned that if they allow themselves enough time that human beings will pretty much let them do whatever they want to do. And you think, well, that's absolutely awful, but that's exactly what's happening. Look at the pandemic of what it's doing as far as this coronavirus, which is basically being built up. I personally think it was a genome-specific virus that's mutated. It's no longer as dangerous as it was it once was in China. I believe that. But now it's exposing liberalism or communism, the free market, the open borders, road to national suicide. And this is where we are. This is where we find ourselves. Open borders and free trade induce national suicide slowly and gradually without the victims waking up onto what is going on until it's too late, because you're letting the enemies come in behind the gate. When the coronavirus was brought home with global clarity, the human societies need governments and regulated borders for their own survival. The bottom line is clear. Societies that have had open borders to previous major centers of infection and transmission, like Iran and Italy, which kept open strong flows of people to and from China in the early stages of the pandemic, suffered exceptionally badly. Countries obsessed with maintaining liberal values and open borders like France, Germany, United Kingdom, the U.S. has also suffered. And we have to understand, years ago I did a show. The guy was a liberal nightmare. I've talked to you about it before. I'm not going to mention his name. And he basically was mad at me, arguing with me on the air, because I said people need to be checked for infectious diseases before they come across the border. He said, no, they don't. And I kept saying to him, why would you say that? You could actually spread a pandemic through the United States. We had this giant argument on the show because he was an idiot. I'm just being honest with you, he was an idiot. And see, and this is the problem that we've run into. When liberalism comes in, when communism comes in, when you allow the Frankfurt School ideology to come in, it slowly erodes. And you don't even notice the fact that you're bringing in more people who don't believe in the values of the United States into this country than you are making babies of people who are going to believe it. You stop raising little patriots. My dad, I asked him one time, we were talking about ancient Rome, and he said, you know why Rome fell, Ted? And I said, well, Dad, I think I do. The barbarians came against. No. They could have handled any onslaught because of the Roman legions. He says, the reason Rome fell is they stopped raising little Romans. And this is what happened. We allowed the Frankfurt School ideology to come in. We stopped raising little Romans starting in the 50s and 60s because this Frankfurt School with Gloria Steinem and Playboy and Hugh Hefner and all the other filth, the CIA, the drug running, the LSD, all of that, the counterculture of the 60s, all pushed upon us to force us into a more, quote, liberal society where people would be able to do whatever they wanted to do regardless of how it affected other people, including unbridled immigration coming into the United States, including whatever they wanted to do because they took God out. See, when you take God out of an equation, you have a society that is like has been said, you know, do what thou wilt. You know, basically you can commit any sin, any crime, anything, and it's okay. This is what Crowley used to say. That was just a big mantra in Aleister Crowley. And see, this is where we've headed in the United States, and we've allowed it to happen. And the sad part about it is it doesn't have to be this way. You know, I know in my generation, I was born in 1955. I'm 64 years old. And I remember more and more of this liberalism, more and more people getting drunk, more and more people taking drugs, more, all of this stuff happened in the late 60s and early 70s. You guys read about the 50s. I lived the 50s and 60s. I was there. And then that generation had children, and they started becoming more and more liberal because they were the ones who basically had done the drugs and it had killed them. So they figured, what the heck, who cares? I've got a friend of mine who's got a child. He's like 70 years old now. He's got a child. He had these kids when he's like, you know, in his 40s, and he was a big stoner. I mean, a big stoner. The guy stayed stoned for years. I mean, I'm talking as an adult, he was stoned and stayed stoned until he's in almost 30 years of age. And he basically has a son now who's a stoner. And you think, well, there's no surprise there because he's tolerant of that. He's allowed that to happen. And here's the problem with all of this. You know, the son now is like a pervert. And he texts one of my daughters the other day and wants to send him nasty pictures of himself. And the guy just got married. He just got married and wants to send nasty pictures of himself. And you're like, what? Your own daughter? Yeah, it happened to my daughter. And she had to block him on social media. See, so every generation gets progressively worse. They stop doing what I read in those scriptures in Philippians. They don't think about what is honorable, what is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. They don't think on these things anymore. They think on the latest perversion, the latest this, the latest that. And this is the slow degradation we've seen of our culture now for the past 70 years. And it saddens me. This morning I was praying and I thought, wow, we have allowed this to happen. Now, I'm talking about we as in the aggregate as the United States. I have not. I have done everything I can. You know, I remember when I was young, you know, I remember one time Austin said to me, because, you know, he's an amazing man. He's 31 years old, but he's a teenager, and all teenagers are getting their testosterone. They all turn into brats, at least 90% of them. And Austin said to me, he goes, "Dad, you've changed. You're not like you were." And I said, "No, Austin, I haven't changed. Welcome to the world of testosterone. This is what happens. You've got to start figuring things out on your own because your brain starts getting basically deluged with hormones. And if you don't have that child trained properly when they're young, those hormones and that lifestyle could take them in a direction they don't want to go, which can affect them for the rest of their lives." And so I told him, I said, "No, Austin, I haven't changed. I'm always the same. I'm like the most consistent person I know." I said, "You've changed, and so I've got to push back against what you're doing." And see, this is the problem with this Dr. Spock and no spanking children and all this other stuff that they were taught and we were taught. What it does, it allows these children to go the way they want to go, not in the way of the Lord. And what ends up happening is we end up raising children who don't take their children to church, who basically don't teach their children Bible studies or stories, who have raised a group of children that are completely and totally illiterate when it comes into the ways of the Word. They don't do what Philippians tells us to do. See, and this is why we as a parent, we as an American, we've got to go back. That's the only way we can do this. If my people will humble themselves and fall on their knees, ask me to forgive them, God said, "I will heal your land." We're not doing that in the United States. We've got talk show hosts that basically claim to be Christians that are using God's name in vain, who are drunk on the air, who are smoking drugs on the air and cigarettes and cigars on the air and doing all of this stuff, saying, you know, some of them are actually drunk on the air talking, popping Corona. And you think, what the heck? It's all because of the permissive culture that we've allowed. See, disciple means discipline. It's a root word of discipline. When we're a disciple of Christ, we have to be disciplined in our life. You know, and I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying that we're not going to respond in anger when someone's mean to us. I'm not saying we're not going to do any of that stuff, because we're not God. We're not Jesus. We're still in this fleshly body of ours, in this dimension that we're in right now. But what we have to do is the best we possibly can. So when you see something that ain't right, when you know something is wrong, when you know something's not right in your family, you got to step in and intervene. Don't stick your head down a hole and say it's not happening. Yeah, I know in my own family, you know, my brother-in-law, Sharon's half-brother, ended up using drugs when he was in his 13, 14 years of age, and he turned into a drug person his entire life, ending, of course, as many of them do, on heroin with an overdose and dying. And Sharon's father, who I highly respect, could never see it, never could see what was going on with this young man. And at 36 years of old, they basically died with a needle in his arm. You think, what the heck? Well, that happened in my own family. That's that permissive society. You know, we think, you know, I went to Auburndale High School back in the 70s, and if it was okay for me, it's okay for my children. Well, I never said that. We homeschooled our kids. But this is the kind of mentality that we have in the United States today. It's from that normalcy bias. And now here we find ourselves in a government lockdown for basically a condition that has already mutated to the point where it's no big deal. There's nothing to it anymore. And here we are saying, oh, we've got to stay shut down. Look at Taiwan, right next to China. They had no lockdowns. They had no business closures. They're a non-World Health Organization member, which, by the way, is one of the most corrupt organizations in the world. And they have been relatively unaffected by COVID-19. Well, that's because they haven't allowed the World Health Organization to dictate policy in their country. And see, this is the problem we've run into. We've sold ourselves out to these banking institutions and their subsidiary corporations who they control, who are trying to push us in a certain direction, and now they're doing it to shut down the world economic engine. Yesterday I was coming home from the office with some guy. I felt bad for him, and we stopped by. He had a restaurant that's been closed, and he basically is selling like beef brisket, you know, from his garage. And he has a little vending place right out on the sidewalk there, which is totally against, you know, city policy. But they've been allowing him to do it. I guess they're realizing that they can't just be, you know, the Gestapo right now. And I stopped and got a beef brisket sandwich. And I must admit, it's like the absolute best beef brisket sandwich I've ever eaten, because he's trying to keep his life going and his lifestyle going and his business going. Now think about that. That's the entrepreneurial spirit that I've talked about so many times that the United States has. It's that Protestant work ethic that we were taught that we were ingrained in and believing. You know, we were taught that there's a God. We were taught that we are not God. We have been taught that basically if we do what pleases him, he will reward us. And that if we do hard work and we pray, that God's going to bless us. We've been taught that. That's the Protestant work ethic, guys. And see, this is what they want to destroy in the United States. That's why they've come after all of these small businesses and all these groups of people, that all they want to do is have a good life for themselves and their family, to provide more for their lives and for their family and their children than they were given, or to at least do it equally. And that's what these guys who rule the planet, these planetary rulers, don't want. You got to remember, they're in a club. Okay, you're not in it. This is a group of weirdos. Okay, you're not in the club, and you've got to be in the club in order to allow them to keep you in the know of what they're really doing, and everybody else is basically not told the truth. You know, they have deep underground military bunkers and housing complexes that go for miles. Jesse Ventura showed that on one of his shows. Here's the thing. If something happens, that's where they're all headed. And guess what? You and me, we don't have a ticket to get in. This is that group that runs the planet. This is that group that basically does whatever they want to do, and they follow their snake god, bunch of weirdos, to do what they want to do and he wants them to do. But guys, think about this. Remember what it says in Colossians. Think about the good things. Because guys, remember, the best thing they have going for them is what they have. I didn't mean Colossians, I mean Philippians. The Colossians got a bunch of good stuff too in it. But what happens is you got to think about what is true, what is honorable, what is right. Because guys, remember, our future and our hope is in Christ. We're only here for a drop of time. I mean, I'm 64 years old. I'm never going to bench press 340 pounds again, and I'm never going to squat the way I used to squat with heavy weights. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I wish I'd never done that to start with because of what it did to my back. But the point is this. I have a future that is so wonderful. I mean, there's a mansion waiting for me in heaven. A mansion. Now, that's pretty doggone neat. I mean, that's amazing because we have that hope and that future in Christ because of what he did. We were bought for a price. So don't think about momentary things that are happening down here. Stay focused on the good things. Do the best you possibly can. God's going to take care of you. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or my children begging bread. God's going to take care of you. But these guys want you to panic. They want you to stress out. They want you to get your cortisol through the roof. They want you to get all kinds of diseases. They're doing everything they possibly can to do this by stressing you out. Don't allow them to mess with you like that. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If we commit our plans to the Lord, they will succeed. Awesome. What do you think?
That's really well said, Bud. That was a very good opening. And that's what everybody needs to really evaluate now while your kids are out of school. What you can teach them, what you can instill in them, what you can help them with. You know, I was talking to a friend about that the other day, and I said, you know, I said, right now, I said, there's no marketing on social media for any business aspect. You're not doing much of anything. I said, don't be wasting your time on social media frivolously. Learn something new. Spend more time with the kids. Work on a beer business. Work on your side business. Work on stuff that's going to be productive right now. The American population has gotten so dumbed down with the internet and with television and with social media. And I'm not saying those things can't be used. I'm not saying that at all. As you guys know me, I mean, there's always time for be able to relax or wind down or use things for specific business marketing tools. But what they're doing right now, there's a reason why Netflix stock has gone through the roof. It's a Netflix usage and subscriptions at all-time high. Now, it's ironic, isn't it? Because if you guys remember what I told you 6 months ago, Netflix was hemorrhaging subscriptions because they were continually raising their price and they had crappy movies. And they always pushed their LGBTQ movies all the time. Hence why I canceled my Netflix subscription and backcharged the last 90 days over, what, 3.5 years ago I told you guys I did that. They want people to sit at home and stare at the television and be scared. They wanted people to sit at home and watch the filthy, exactly filthy right. crap that Netflix produces every single day. That's what they want you to do. Do the opposite. Get out. Exercise. Train. Focus on your diet more. Focus on eating clean and cutting certain things out of your diet. Now's the perfect time to do so because people should be watching what they're spending on food. I told Lana that the other day when she went to Publix. I said, hey, when you go to Publix, I said, don't be buying a bunch of frivolous stuff we don't need, or sweets, organic cookies. We don't need a bunch of that junk right now. I said, get some good food that we can make last for a couple days with the family and go from there. And that's what everybody needs to be focusing on right now. And on top of that, focusing on getting your kids the information and the biblical principles and the knowledge that they need, the wisdom that they need, that they deserve. They don't just need it, they deserve it. The school systems have become a communist indoctrination camp. They've become so polluted and so perverted, which is a travesty, because the school systems back 100 years ago were designed to do one thing, and that was teach the kids basic education. Teach them mathematics, teach them English, teach them concepts, then turn around and allow them to go out and learn different trades throughout the day, or work with their parents, or go off and do stuff. That's what the schools did, and they were small school systems that were local right down the road. They never taught them this garbage they're teaching them now, you know, sex ed when they're 6, 7 years old, teaching them that they can be any sexual orientation or any sponge or walrus or it or pixie or whatever they want to be when they're 5, 6 years old. It's polluted. It's toxic. It's corrupt. And that's exactly why they've done this. Because if you can pollute and control the young generation, you would control and dictate what happens in the future. That's why Hitler said, give me your youth and I will basically give you the future, or whatever the comment he said about, I don't have it in front of me. That's what he knew. If you could take the children and you could brainwash them and you could focus them a certain direction and you could tell them enough propaganda and rhetoric, you could control what the future outcome of that country was going to be. And that's exactly what he tried to do. And this is exactly what we have to learn. Right now is a perfect time to focus on getting your kids real information. I encourage you, if you have the ability to do so, stand up for your kids' minds in these school systems. I've heard so many people now, they're like, oh man, my kids are out of school right now. We don't know what to do with ourselves. We can't wait to get them back in school. Really? You've got an opportunity with your children right now to spend time with them. You got an opportunity with your children to instill some wisdom to them right now. You're so focused on trying to get them back out of the house, you can shove them in the school system so their minds can become more polluted right now. It's the only thing you're concerned about? Yeah, it's inconvenient. Yeah, it's rough sometimes. I deal with it all the time at home. I got a 4-year-old son. He's a little miniature version of me. He's wide open all the time. I love spending time with him. I love him when he comes to the office. I mean, not everybody has that luxury, but a lot of people aren't working right now. They're working from home. They get to enjoy their kids. The problem is people don't want to actually take responsibility for their children anymore. I'm just be flat out honest with you. The feedback that I get from a lot of parents now, people don't want to be responsible for them. They want the schools to be responsible for their education. They want the doctors to be responsible for their health. They basically want whoever else is involved in their lifestyle to be responsible for the rest of their upbringing. You couldn't possibly take responsibility and not feed your kids high fructose corn syrup and Red 40 and possibly keep them healthy and keep them attentive and keep them moderately controlled. No, that's too easy. Now, take them to the doctor and put them on Adderall at 5 years old. That's what you do, right? That's what everybody thinks is supposed to do now. You couldn't possibly learn how to control and discipline your child and teach them in the ways of the Bible, as Dad said earlier. Got to put them on Ritalin and Adderall. Dumb them down. Give them a Schedule II amphetamine salt. Make sure you get them real good and stupid so by the time they're 18, 19, 20 years old, their brain's burned out. They have hardly any cognitive reasoning left. And then they come off Adderall. They can't get a prescription anymore because they're not in the school system anymore. And now they can't figure out what to do because they can't get that dopamine trigger from the amphetamines anymore. So they start doing other drugs. This is why we have an entire society that's built on pharmaceutical and illicit drugs now. It's sad. It's pathetic. And it's because of the pharmaceutical and the drug industry and the medical industrial complex that has indoctrinated everybody to think that the doctors are the ones that are responsible for our health. It is complete and total opposite. For instance, now we've been seeing this article talked about that hydrochloroquine is completely and totally useless against COVID-19. A lot of people have seen this now. Steve brought it up to me today. I got a couple emails on it. And what they did was they took a research study And it was ironic, because they've talked about this on the news now. The chloroquine doesn't work. It's completely useless. And they took the last conclusion out of it, and it said, in this study, we found no evidence that the use of hydrochloroquine, either with or without azithromycin, reduced the risk of mechanical ventilation of patients hospitalized or decreased the association increased overall mortality identified in patients treated with hydrochloroquine alone. Everybody goes, oh my gosh, hydrochloroquine doesn't work. No, why don't you actually use your brain, use the two eyes God gave you, and read the study. The results are out of a total of a whopping 368 patients. Of those, they go in to say that 200 of them, 236 out of the 368 were black, which I'm not saying anything negative about that. What I'm saying is we've seen that the population of the black population has been higher predisposed to have worse side effects from COVID-19 for whatever reason. I don't know. So you had almost 70% of the test subjects were black. Then they went on to say, in the middle of the article, our study has certain limitations, including those inherent to all retrospective analysis, such as non-randomization of treatment. Our study cohort only comprised men, almost 70% of those which were black, whose median age was over 65 years old. Then it goes on to say that they disproportionately were black, and then it goes on further that says, if you look at the numbers on it, every single person in the study had an elevated BMI range or an out-of-healthy range, meaning every single person in the study was either overweight or they were obese. Then you go on to look and see what issues and health problems they have, and you go on to find out that the vast majority of them, over 200 of them, had some type of significant heart problem, including congestive heart failure, peripheral vascular disease, myocardial infarction. Almost 200 of them had that. Then you go on to read the rest of it. 59 of them had cancer. So wait a minute. We basically have an unbelievably unhealthy group of 368 people that are over the age of 65, that almost 70% are black, all of them are obese or overweight, almost over half of them have some type of heart condition, and over like a fifth of them have cancer. That's the research study they're throwing out there now saying chloroquine doesn't work and nobody should be using it whatsoever anymore. Why? Because they don't want to possibly examine the fact that something may actually work besides a vaccine, nor do they possibly want to actually acknowledge the fact that there may be other options besides putting people on vaccines to try to fix it. And forbid they talk about vitamin C. I mean, I'm not even going to get into that. I've already beat that for so long, and most anybody that has a brain realizes that vitamin C, not just with COVID-19, has been used for decades for viral applications and shown very positive response, especially when used in high dose orally or in intravenous dosages. So I told you right now, I'm running around 6,000 to 7,000 milligrams a day. That's my personal dose. I'm not telling you that's what you have to take, but I'm saying me around 200 pounds, adult male, that's what I'm taking every day, and I've stayed incredibly healthy. My energy levels have actually been higher than normal, because normally I only take around 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams a day. I've more than doubled it, and I really like the effects that I've gotten from it. Why? Because vitamin C is crucial to the body, and it's so important to the immune system. So they don't want you talking about this. They don't want people finding alternatives. Now they're saying, and this is what's getting everybody right now, is the massive disinformation, confusion, and absolutely disharmony that you're hearing. This is being done on purpose to scare people. That's why I don't bring this up, bring stuff up on the show that's as far as it can't verify. They are constantly confusing the populace. Perfect example. Yesterday, Trump came out and he said, hey, we're not going to have a comeback with this in the fall. If we do, it's going to be minor. And I quote, this is what he said. It's not going to be what we've gone through in any way, shape, or form. If it comes back, it's coming back in a form that is small. It will be coming back in a smaller dosage that we can contain. It will simply be an ember of corona, and we will not go through ever what we went through in the last 2 months. Then he basically asked Fauci to weigh in on it. And Fauci goes, we will have the coronavirus in the fall. I'm fully convinced of that. Whether or not it's going to be big or small will depend on our response in lockdown. Wait, what? So it's not coming back, Trump says, and then Fauci pulls his little tiny little face up there and says, oh no, it's definitely coming back in the fall, and it's going to probably be worse, and we're going to have the flu and the coronavirus tackled together with it now. And then Trump comes out yesterday, and then he goes, I disagree with Georgia's decision to restart the economy. He goes, Do I agree with him? No, but I respect his decision. Georgia's now become the first state in the country to loosen restrictions that are basically in place. And Trump said he told Governor Brian Kemp in a phone call that he thought it was way too early to ease stay-at-home orders and let businesses reopen. When asked, Georgia, Dr. Fauci said he cautioned the state, and he said basically he didn't think that they should be doing this yet. The director of the CDC, Robert Redfield, who's all he wants to do is talk about pushing a vaccine, said that the coronavirus is going to emerge in a deadlier threat in the winter, and that the flu will be a deadly combination, and that everybody needs to get their flu vaccine because the flu is going to spread with the coronavirus. What type of fear porn are these guys throwing out there? This is some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard when you actually look at what's going on with this vaccine. We already know, we've seen the CDC has blatantly come out now and said, it doesn't matter if they even test for the coronavirus. It doesn't even matter if the person dies from something and they didn't even have the coronavirus, so you can verify it. If they had some type of side effect whatsoever, some type of symptom, put it down as COVID-19. We know that now. We see counties down here in Florida, currently like ours, with 300 cases over the last 2 months out of a population of 800,000 people. Idiotic. And they can't even verify half these cases. Majority of the ones that they verify, people basically aren't even hospitalized. This is the great deception that they're doing. They go back and forth intentionally. This is why Trump has been doing this the whole time. This is the narrative that they told him to push. Remember, there's no presidential seal on the booth anymore, on the podium. It says the White House now, guys. This is not any type of executive branch open anymore. This is a FEMA operation with a military operation going on. And they have to continue the narrative of pushing this great lie that they're doing so they can turn around, scare the population into getting a vaccine, scare the population to stay locked in their homes. And we see this over and over and over again every single week, up and down, up and down. Now we saw basically the avian bird flu in South Carolina popped up last week, and they said, okay guys, the CDC came in and said, you gotta slaughter all these turkeys. You gotta take care of all of them. They ended up having to slaughter 32,577 turkeys because they said that 1,000 of them had gotten the bird flu. Now they said this stuff isn't contagious to humans, this specific strand, but guys, think about it. 32,000 turkeys just got slaughtered when we're already having a huge decline in the food production because so many people have basically had to shut down factories. I mean, you got chicken farmers that are chicken-based guys that are dealing with poultry go in now, and they've had to slaughter huge swaths of chickens. They can't do anything with them. Same thing with vegetables now. They've had to dump and write off all these vegetables because all the restaurants are closed. So you see these things starting to go on and on and on because of the economic impact. Now we see, I'm happy, a Texas judge now announced this week his county would not be mandating its citizens to wear face coverings when in public. He said it was unconstitutional. He basically stated this after an issue came out about neighboring county, Harris County, made face masks mandatory to go outside. I mean, I'm driving around now. I mean, I had to go to Lowe's again yesterday. I go to Lowe's all the time now. I'm trying to get parts, material, finish this house up. Finally, I'm getting very close to the end, and I'm driving around, and there's people driving around in their cars with face masks on. Not even joking. Driving around with face masks on because they're so confused and so scared about everything they're being told. 4 weeks ago, the WHO and the CDC said, stop wearing face masks. You're using them all up. It doesn't help at all. Don't wear a face mask. It's not important. Now all of a sudden they're coming out in counties and saying they're mandating face masks? Which one is it? Now we got, you know, up in California, Highway Patrol has now imposed perhaps the most draconian measure yet as the United States grapples with this plandemic it starts to see, as disallowing groups from peaceful assembling on state grounds after a Monday protest in which California has defied the stay-at-home order. They said permits are issued to provide safe environments for demonstrators to express their views. In this case, however, the permit for the convoy was issued with the understanding that the protest would be conducted in a manner consistent with the state's public health guidance. That is not what occurred. California Highway Patrol will take this into account when considering any more permits for any other groups. And what happened on Monday was hundreds of Californians swarmed the Capitol complex in Sacramento, causing traffic jams and honking their horns while people gathered to express their objections, being forced to stay in their home when the rates of California have actually decreased significantly. So here's the irony. You have to get a permit, which means you have to pay money and get permission to peacefully protest. Now they're saying
that's right.
You're not peacefully protesting in the manner that we deem fit because you're not being safe enough and wearing enough face masks. So now we're not going to allow you to peacefully protest, which means we're not going to allow any more permits to be issued so you can protest your stay-at-home order. What are we living in, guys? And this is what's happening in some parts of the country. I mean, you saw what happened in Michigan. Those guys had enough and protested. The governor didn't even go as far to do that, that hardcore leftist liberal, because she knew when you start doing this, guys, it's a very, very slippery slope, and it's not going to stop. I mean, Canada, they don't have hardly any constitutional rights up there, and now a Canadian teen, him and his dad have gone on multiple shows as far as to talk about what's going on. He was actually in the Eva James Memorial Community Center in Ottawa, Canada, playing basketball by himself in a basketball court, approached by two officers and was told he was not allowed to be there. He's a 17-year-old kid. And he goes, dude, I'm sorry. I'm leaving. I didn't know I was supposed to be here. They cited him and fined him for basically breaking quarantine order and gave him a $500 fine for playing basketball and violating an order for playing basketball by himself. We're seeing the same things down here in Florida, guys. In some beaches and areas, the police are like roving patrol stormtrooper Gestapos driving around, citing people for walking on the beach by themselves in front of their own home. What have we stepped into, and how long are we going to allow this to continue to happen before we actually step up and say enough is enough, Dad?
You know, Austin, it's almost the point of insanity. I mean, it's almost past that point. I mean, we had another woman who had her child at the park with some of her friends, and she basically was confronted by the police. Her name is Sarah Brady. She's from Meridian, Idaho, and she was arrested on Tuesday, April 21st, after she joined a large group of parents in protesting Idaho's coronavirus stay-at-home policies through a planned playdate protest. The city of Meridian closed their playgrounds in March in an effort to reduce the spread of this disease that's already... it's not around anymore, as far as I'm concerned, as any kind of levels. And they basically, because of their fears of the virus, it could live on plastic surfaces. They closed the doggone park. So she got out there with a bunch of kids, and she said, no. And she said, well, we're going to have our kids, and we're going to play. So the Meridian police came up to her and said, hey, you know, you got to leave. And she refused. And they arrested her, leaving her children there with another family. Now, you think about that for a second. She left her children with somebody else, and her children had to see her get handcuffed and dragged off. What country is this? How in the world have we allowed ourselves to go here? And I've covered that 100 times on the show. We've allowed the international banking community to take control of the United States through the Federal Reserve Act. It happened in 1913 with probably one of two of the worst presidents, Abraham Lincoln being the first, and basically Woodrow Wilson being number two that we've ever had in the United States. And Woodrow Wilson sold us down the river to the international banking cartels because he was basically a whore, had an affair with a married woman while he was at Princeton, and they were going to expose him. And Samuel Untermyer blackmailed him and got the Federal Reserve Act passed. You know, of course, I don't know why we're the only ones who have a report on that. Of course, it's over 100 years old. I guess maybe that's why it's not relevant. It's exactly relevant. And this is the problem that we're into now. And these guys run it all. I mean, Ford and General Motors now, you know, they're still shut down because they want to build respirators. What? It's going to take years to retool those plants, if we even have the ability to do that without Chinese input as far as retooling. We have to rebuild an entire infrastructure of automation and platforms and everything else in order to do ventilators. Now we're finding out that 90% of the people that go on ventilators die anyhow, because it's like the very end of this disease. And then they're coming up with bogus studies, like Austin just read a minute ago, about how these protocols don't work with people that are almost dead anyhow. Well, yeah, how about that? And the part about all this is that, remember, as General Motors goes, as Ford goes, as Chrysler goes, so goes the heartbeat of the United States. And right now, Zero Hedge just came out with an article that says GM and Ford are one step closer to losing billions on used car price plunge. The finance arms of Ford and GM are inching closer to billion-dollar losses as a result of the plunge in used car prices. While the impact has been expected for several weeks, the plunge in used car prices has worsened, with prices falling faster and steeper than analysts had predicted. We had pointed out worries about used car pricing weeks ago. Now, what they're saying here is this. Because the used car auction markets have basically closed, there's a massive collapse now in dealerships because of a lack of floor traffic to buy both new and used cars. So let's say you have a 2015 Chevrolet, you know, Silverado diesel. And, you know, 4 months ago, the truck was worth $25,000, $30,000. Now, all of a sudden, because of a lack of demand at the used car level, that truck is now worth, instead of $25,000 or $30,000, it's worth $10,000. Well, now, if you go to trade it in on a new one, which has been price inflated to $70,000, which is ridiculous, you know, now you're only getting $15,000 in trade-in value, so you're having to finance the $45,000, but the 2015 still runs fine. So now the response is going to be, guess what, guys? I'm not giving you my truck for $20,000 less than it was worth, you know, a couple months ago. I'm going to basically keep it. Hence, the sale doesn't happen. Hence, the new car sale doesn't happen. Hence, the hyperinflated car market, which is what it has become. I used to buy a nice pickup truck, you know, 20 years ago for $30,000. A nice truck, like a Ford, you know, Lariat. Not anymore. Now it's going to be $80,000. And it's this inflation, decreasing the purchasing power, all brought to you by the central banks, that has caused this to happen. And finally now, people's car payments are as high as their house payment in some cases. They're making $700,000 to $800,000 a month payments on a truck. And you think, this is insanity. Well, yeah, it is insane. But this is where we find ourselves. And so we find ourselves in a very, very precarious position in the car market. Well, if that happens, then when General Motors reopens, there'll be a massive reduction in demand for their new cars, which means a lot of people won't be working at General Motors anymore, which means a lot of people won't be buying new vehicles, and a lot of people are going to be unemployed. And so this domino starts to fall. That's exactly what they want. They want the domino to fall. In Germany right now, they're opening stores of like 8,000 square feet and above as far as certain stores are allowed to reopen, and they're finding people aren't going in and buying anything. Why? Because they've been unemployed or they've been living on their savings. And see, this is the ripple effect that we have when we shut down the economic world engine. This is from Thomas Reuters. Of course, that's a Rothschild-owned organization. It says, German shoppers are not rushing back as stores reopen. In Berlin, German consumers are counting their pennies rather than returning to shop in large numbers as stores gradually reopen after being locked down during the coronavirus pandemic, I will call plandemic, P-L-A-N, the National Retailers Association said on Wednesday. Stores of up to 800 square meters or 8,000 square feet were allowed to reopen again from Monday, along with car and bicycle dealers and bookstores. But they're not reopening the manufacturing facilities of BMW, Mercedes, Porsche, yeah, Volkswagen, Audi. They're not reopening. But they have to provide, they adhere to strict social distancing and hygiene rules in the stores. But the Retailer Association said the mood among shoppers remained very subdued due to concerns about job cuts and finances. It says consumers are in a crisis mode and consumer sentiment is in the doldrums, a spokesperson said. In some part of the Europe's biggest economy, Germany, larger stores have also been allowed to open up, such as furniture and homeware stores in North Rhine. Elsewhere, large stores in the ecosystem's consumer electronics are being allowed to reopen. But it's still shut down from all of their major manufacturers and car manufacturers. Guys, they're doing this on purpose because they can print money hand over fist. In fact, you know, we need to realize that this money printing is taking place in all of these other countries, all over the world with the derivative exposure, et cetera, et cetera. That's why we're not feeling it here for hyperinflation. They shut the demand down, and we can't see it. We talked about this multiple times. Now, the Bank of America is saying that the Fed can't print gold, and it's the ultimate source of value. I talked about that yesterday, and we need to realize that, guys, these guys are in a situation where they really don't know what they're doing. At this point in time, they're kind of experimenting on, guess what, you and me. Now, they've been through the Weimar Republic, because they're the ones who did that, too, when the loaf of bread was 40 billion marks. They've been through this already. They've already done the Zimbabwe. They've done all these different types of things in these different central banks they've owned, and they've had all these beta tests that they've done. And now they're doing what? Guess what? A beta test on the entire planet, including the United States, for one reason only, to bring in a new world order, which will bring in a new world, one world government, a new world, one world currency, and they want to bring in that new world, one world religion. That's where they want to take all of this stuff. But in the meantime, I want some good news here, and I like this because, you know, you guys know that I was a big non-Roger Stone guy, but he's basically accepted Jesus Christ. And now he's saying he's praying for a pardon with full faith in Jesus. The more I hear this guy, he's reminding me of Saul of Tarsus. Not that he's going to be some great evangelist to write 2/3 of the New Testament, but the fact he went from such an unbelievably decadent lifestyle to talking about Jesus Christ. Here's the article. Almost any list of top newsmaking and colorful political personalities in recent U.S. history would be Roger Stone. An unconventional Republican operative since the 70s, Stone hit the apex of his flamboyant career in 2016 with the election of Trump. The achievement was focused on a popular 27 documentary, Get Me Roger Stone. And he goes on to say that Roger Stone basically now is calling on Jesus. He says that someone who frequently writes about Christianity, who writes about Christianity and who's conducted several interviews with Roger, I asked him if I could answer him some personal faith questions. He agreed. Now, you guys can read this article I posted at Real Clear Politics, and it's praying for a pardon with full faith in Jesus. So, guys, I hope and I pray that Roger Stone is saved. But, guys, it's like this. You know, we'll know them by their fruit. We'll know what happens with Roger Stone. We'll know if we see him drunk, doing all kinds of weird stuff again, something ain't right. But, guys, in the meantime, we can probably pray for Roger Stone and ask God to direct and to guide him and to lead him through the Holy Spirit. It's so important that we as Christians stick together. By the way, yesterday we had talked about Skynet, and we had talked about the drones in detail. Last night on Fox, Napoliano talked about the same thing that Austin talked about, and we broke the story about these drones. And here's the article on Zero Hedge today. It says, Skynet, we talked about this yesterday, with Cyberdyne. It says, Google scientists create artificial intelligence that evolved on its own. Wow. One of the biggest global players in artificial intelligence is Google, and their high-tech brain division has been pushing the envelope for years. Now scientists working for their AutoMI project have a new paper in which they claim to be developing algorithms that can evolve on their own, guys, without human input. This is learning from machines. Even more stunning is their claim that they can induce mutations into the generations of algorithms which mimics principles of Darwinian evolution, namely survival of the fittest. Are you hearing this? This is exactly what the movie Terminator talked about. The drones got so advanced, the robots got so advanced, that they evolved, that they considered themselves to be above humans, and they decided to wipe all the humans out. This is unbelievable that we're actually doing this. Now, again, this is part of the AI system with a D-Wave computer connecting into another dimension to allow Lucifer to come in and rule the planet. What better person would he have to monitor us and to police us than an autonomous drone that has no human feelings and has no soul and would just shoot you or your children as to look at you? That's where it's going. You think, well, it shouldn't go that way. That's awful. I didn't tell you it wasn't awful. I think it's horrible. But these are the guys that run the planet, because they want every thought of every man evil all the time. They go into your house and you're watching Christian TV. Well, you find a good Christian TV show that's not weird, and you watch something good and peaceful on your show. The drone walks in and goes, unacceptable, and machine guns everybody. Thoughts are not evil all of the time. You say, well, that's awful. That won't happen. Okay. Yeah, okay. That's all right. They're arresting women and ladies in the parks, leaving their children stranded with friends because they're basically playing on playground equipment that was put there by the public who basically paid the taxes to put these parks in. That's where we are right now. Now, if you don't want to believe that, you need to read some of the news that's out there that's talking about all of this stuff. We've already gone to this level of lockdown. And the problem, again, is our normalcy bias. We don't want to believe this is happening. We want to continue to believe that Fox News is going to save us. Newsflash, they're Rothschild-controlled. Just a newsflash. They're controlling both sides of the narrative. Because they know if they only push the one narrative to us, what's going to happen is we're going to rebel against them. So we are able to relate to the Rothschild banking cartel by saying, hey, look at us, look at us. You know, we basically, you know, are standing firm against these guys, and we're not. In essence, when we watch shows that basically promote the narrative on both directions, it's exactly what happened with Otto Kahn back in the 1920s when he said that we control both sides of the narrative. Fox is owned. It's one of those corporations that is owned by the global elite through the international banking cartels. Austin, that's enough for me today. I'm going to let you go ahead and finish up the show. I appreciate you guys. I love you. I had the opportunity to pray for you guys today. And I tell you what, it's my privilege to do that. I pray that God continues to bless all of you and take care of you and protect you. Think on the good things like we talked about earlier in the show. Austin, go ahead.
Absolutely. That's well said. And I mean, continually be holding all of our representatives' feet to the fire on this. Everybody needs to be vocal. Everybody needs to be very vocal about this. And wherever you're at, continue to speak the truth. You know, I have so many people that, you know, you go out in public right now, and some people are just, you can look at their face, you can look in their eyes, and they're just sheep. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean, you make comments to them, and they have this look like, oh, why aren't you wearing a face mask? Why are you actually talking to anybody? You're supposed to stand in line 6 feet apart with your face mask, hands to your side, and be a good little slave and cattle in. And it's very troubling to me how many people have become so submissive to this out of either fear or complacency or all of the above. I don't know. But, you know, I thought earlier about what the lady, you know, the girl that got arrested, lady got arrested with her kids in the park, how troubling that was, how irritating that would be to see something like that and have that happen in front of your kids. And, you know, we've seen now repeatedly that the cases of young children have been slim to none, and most of which have been minor. How do we know from what I've seen that this thing isn't just like the chicken pox for young kids? 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old kids, they get this stuff, they get an immunity to it, they're never going to have a problem with it ever again. But yet everybody's so concerned because the government has stoked so much fear, instead of saying, hey, we're going to make sure our kids ramped up on their D3, we're going to make sure they're taking a lot of vitamin C right now, we're going to make sure they're taking their multivitamins and make sure they're taking their omega-3s. And we're just going to run it from here. As we've seen enough with this now, this is not the black plague. Nobody wants to even question that. Because why? It goes against the narrative. And that is the absolute horrifying scene that we're seeing now, is that people refusing to even ask questions. Or I say this all the time on the show. Always ask questions. What's behind this narrative? Why are they putting every single death down as COVID-19 in some cases? What's in the vaccine? Ask those questions. We've seen, you know, Chipotle has been a very huge, huge example of why people want non-GMO food. Chipotle's exploded in the last 5, 6, 7 years with growth. And rightfully so. They have really clean food. They have non-GMO food. Everything's certified non-GMO. No hormones or antibiotics or any nasty stuff in their meat. And they've had it assayed and tested a lot of it, and it's fantastic food. But they've constantly been hit all the time with negativity. And when we saw a while back, they had those foodborne illnesses outbreak in L.A., Boston, Virginia, and Ohio, which those aren't even regional connected to one another. You couldn't even possibly have the same contamination. Well, they just got hit with the largest criminal fine ever in a food safety case, $25 million fine, basically from the Federal Food and Drug Cosmetic Act, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Now, why in the world did they get a $25 million fine? They said that company policy, this is what the prosecutor said, that company policy requires the restaurant to report certain employees' illnesses to Chipotle safety officials and to implement enhanced food safety procedures. The restaurant did not pass along information regarding one ill employee until multiple consumers already reported being sick. So one incident at one store, one mess up, and they're now saying that all of that happened because of that incident. I don't buy that for a second. We've never seen fines that large, even when there's been gross violations of companies like McDonald's and Taco Bell. They may get a $500,000 fine, $1 million fine for something, not a $25 million fine. Why? Because Chipotle doesn't go along with the pro-GMO narrative. They become one of the largest fast food restaurants in the country. Wake up and see who's behind the numbers and watch what's really going on, guys. Thank you again for the support. Thank you again for everything as far as getting emails to us, getting information to us, talking about what's really going on, what we're seeing with the 5G rollout, what we're seeing with just these lies and complete and total control. And again, I've told you before, I don't doubt for one second this is a weaponized virus that was pushed out, whether it was from Dietrich or whether it was from Wuhan or whether it was a collaboration. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that it's basically, essentially being overblown for the sole purpose of controlling the monetary policy of the country and completely and totally pushing a totalitarian regime onto the American populace that I fear, not fear, Zon, I'm hoping, I'm praying, but it's becoming clear and clear that this may never lift off what's happened in the country once we start seeing these phases. And that's why we're seeing multiple incongruities with everything that's going on with the leaders in office. So again, thank you for the support. Get this information out there. Be sure to check out the website. The Magnesium Brain Food 1 is product of the week on sale right now for 10% off on the website at healthmasters.com. Multiple other products and kits and specials we have going on right now. So be sure to check that out at the website. And I encourage everybody, stay prepared, stay well-read, focus on the things that you need to right now. Focus on Jesus. Focus on your family. Heck, focus on bettering yourself, learning new things, gaining new abilities, reading books, exercising, getting in better shape, getting healthier. There's all kinds of things people can be doing right now instead of sitting around watching the perverted filth that Netflix produces and puts out all the time. Disgusting. So again, thank you for the support, guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay prepared. Stay awake. Do not live in a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind and preparedness. And of all things, trust Jesus and stay prepared. Love you guys. Appreciate you and talk to you tomorrow.